This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. Pause for a moment here with me to consider some recent big economic policy points. The steel and aluminum tariffs, whenever they may come into effect. The GOP tax overhaul, better known around the White House, you might remember, as the president's cut, cut, cut plan. Both of those and many others are issues where politicians and economists were not saying or thinking the same thing. Alan Blinder is a professor of economics at Princeton University. He's got a new book out called Advice and Dissent, in which he is trying to get those two groups, politicians and economists, on the same policy page. Welcome to the program.
Well, thanks. Nice to be here.
I have to say, as somebody who believes in both of these items in your subtitle, Why America Suffers When Economics and Politics Collide, actually all three items, economics, politics, and America, it's a bit distressing, as is this book.
It is a bit distressing. And, you know, economists could lean a little bit more political, by which I mean not partisan, but savvy.
Yeah.
And politicians could pay a little bit more attention to facts and logic and basic economics. You know, it doesn't quite have to be a meeting of the minds, but a little better communication about what's good economics without any illusions on the economist side that the politicians are always going to choose the correct economic answer. But we're kind of politically naive, and you need to understand the constraints under which the politicians operate.
So, you know what's interesting about that, saying that economists are politically naive? You're a guy who, just to get this out there, right, and you say it in the book, you're a Democrat. You served in Bill Clinton's National Economic Council. But you do start this book, or early on in the book, is a scene with you, and then I guess he was president-elect at that point. You get down to Little Rock,
yes. And
you have your first sort of interaction with that mechanism.
I have the phrase in there jokingly, it's a new world, Tevye. It wasn't a world I was accustomed to then. I was a young man then. It was a long time ago. But it operates under strange rules, strange to an academic, and a very different sort of logic, which I call in the book political logic, to distinguish it from, say, Aristotelian logic, mm-hmm. The kind of things we teach in universities.
Explain that a little bit, would you?
One example is what you were just alluding to before. Politicians get elected, except for the president, politicians get elected by somewhat narrow constituencies. And even the president is catering to a variety of interest groups. That can lead them, for example, to favor policies that shower large benefits on a tiny but politically active minority, even though it's at the cost of a huge number, tens of millions, maybe even hundreds of people. Take the TPP.
Mm-hmm.
The TPP would have given tiny, tiny benefits to millions and tens of millions of Americans, but it would have exacted costs, sizable costs, on a small number. The large number says nothing to their politicians. I mean, who is going to be activated politically by a few dollars? The steel tariffs, another great example. It's in front of us right now.
Go ahead. Tell me more, because it is in front, and it's been in the news.
There are a small number of steel companies and a relatively small number of steel workers. They are not wrong to favor these tariffs. They're not foolish. But if you stack that up against the vast number of businesses and consumers, each of whom will lose a tiny little bit, the sum total, if you add it all up, is extremely skewed, as it's been in the media recently, towards the anti-tariff position. But by political weighting, the skewness, if anything, goes the other way around.
Okay, but here comes the pushback then, because you get economists involved in this, and they say, look, this is about market efficiency, and this is about the long run, and this is about transition costs. And of course this happens, and we'll be better off in the end. And politicians are like, are you out of your mind?
Yeah, and I think we are out of our mind when we make the arguments only on those grounds. Again, not that we're wrong, but you need to understand the political backdrop. In politics, efficiency doesn't matter so much, but fairness matters hugely. So we could make some of those arguments on fairness grounds more than we do. Secondly, I think you started about in the long run.
Yeah.
This is one of my pet peeves.
Yep.
You know, the long run for economists could be measured in decades. Go try to tell that to a politician who's standing for election in 6 months or even 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then you mentioned, Kai, and last, my real pet peeve for my fellow economists.
Yeah.
I'm on a one-man campaign to get the term transition cost banned.
How's it going for you?
Well, I have some hopes for this book. We'll see. But not so well so far. I mean, if you take the case, let's go back to steel.
Yeah.
A 55-year-old steel worker who loses his job in a steel mill, he will never get a job. He will never get a job in a steel mill again. He probably won't get as good paying a job as the one he lost. And if we keep wailing these are only transition costs, they're going to think we're crazy.
Yeah, and they're going to stop listening to you, right? You'll get shut out of the debate.
Yeah, completely. They already are.
So this is a little bit of a downer to end on, but I guess I began on a downer too. It sort of seems like economists and politicians in varying degrees are failing the country.
Well, I think they are, and that's indeed the motive for writing the book. I do end the book, Kai, on somewhat optimistic notes.
Yes, sir, you do.
Not to be a Pollyanna, but making a few suggestions for – I call them palliatives. We're not going to cure this problem.
Right.
This is a problem that you try to manage rather than cure. And I think there's room for improvement.
Alan Blinder is a professor of economics at Princeton University. He has served in the Clinton White House. He's also served on the Federal Reserve. So he knows whereof he speaks. Professor Blinder, thanks for your time, sir.
Well, thank you very much, Kai.